Hello, everyone. I'm Joel Yu. Thanks so much for tuning in to Expert Insights, where we talk with industry leaders across modern financial services to discuss leadership and innovation. Let's get started. All right. Welcome, everyone. Sue, thanks so much for joining us. I'm joined today by Ms. Sue Woodard. And Sue needs no introduction in the industry. She serves as a senior advisor to both Total Expert and the Stratmore Group.
Yep.
And I would say, 30 years in the lending space as an industry expert, thought leader.
I'm going to start it's 32, but I'm going to start just saying 30 something because that's, 30-something, you know, yeah, 30 something.
You started
years.
When you were 12,
right? I only wish, right. Yeah.
So we're going to get into some relevant topics about what's happening in our space right now. And you've got the unique perspective in your capacity at Stratmore and just being involved with so many great organizations. You have a lot of conversations. Over the last couple months as we've spoken, you have been involved in a lot of workshops across multiple companies, dozens, right?
Yep.
Of different top companies in lending. And you get to hear about what they're thinking about. Unpack that a little bit for us. What are you hearing?
Yeah.
What are the priorities?
Yeah. There's a lot going on right now, which, you know, certainly everybody out there knows. But yeah, I've had the very unique opportunity, as you said, to sit in, not just at the conferences that we've been at with meetings, but yeah, some workshops with really top lenders and top executives talking about what they're focusing on right now and what they're not focusing on right now. And one of the things I heard very recently, it was a CEO session, is when they were talking about the kinds of things that they were going to be really, if they're making investments in the year ahead, they said those investments are only going to be on cost cutting, compliance, and customer acquisition, not just because of alliteration, but that struck me because I thought this is the real deal right now with the market that we're in right now, with how things have declined, people are getting really serious. But what stood out to me was you have to be focusing on customer acquisition, right? I mean, that's got to be. So to me, that is the most important thing that people can do right now to build their success for 23.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And I think prioritization is so critical at all times in building companies.
Yep.
But it's obviously even more important, arguably, than it has been in a long time to be ruthless about your priorities and where you're investing resources as an organization. And I agree, from my perspective, that the ability to acquire customers is going to be critical. We've talked about this in the past, that you can't cost cut your way to success.
Right on.
You have to right size your business if you're out there as a lender, a banker lender that has scaled up over a couple of years. You're right sizing the business. But ultimately, it all comes back to being able to attract, acquire, retain customers.
Right on. Yes.
And I was looking at the numbers today, and it looks like the purchase business, the estimates for the purchase volume is, call it sub 5 million units, which is still a lot of transactions for next year. It's lighter than it has been. So as you're hearing them talking about customer acquisition, what are the themes that are coming to light? How are they thinking about it differently today than maybe they would have 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Customers were falling from the sky.
It's interesting, the differences that I hear also in conversations, because there are some lenders that I've heard that are so very focused on cost cutting, to your very good point, that they're not paying enough attention to customer acquisition. And it's understandable, the position some people are in. I mean, one of the things that I've observed is that people will say, gosh, didn't they know the market was going to change and so forth? It's like, yes, nobody expected it was going to change overnight. It's right. Like you go up a hill, you think you're going to go down the hill. Instead, we went up a hill and we came kind of over a cliff on the other side. So people are still dusting off from that. However, what I am hearing is the companies that I've got my eye on, where I've said, these are the ones that are talking about the right things, are the ones that are really focusing on, as we said, customer acquisition as a way to gain market share. So when you think about that, over the last 2 years, people have gained all kinds of customers in their databases, right? You've got people you didn't have in there before. And so now what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this amount of data that you have in your database, the amount of people, real humans and families that are in your database that are going to need additional services from you, that are going to do repeat and referral transactions? We saw over the course of the last couple of years, the retention rates were abysmal. They were terrible. Absolutely abysmal. I mean, it was 18% is what we saw.
Don't you think part of that was you had the luxury of not caring if you're going 100 miles an hour?
1,000%. And there was people, Joe, that turned off some of their marketing because they're like, we're buried. We can't do anymore. So we're just not going to stay in contact anymore.
I think it's a logical thing. Businesses, as you enter these phases of hyper growth, which is a lot of the case, in some cases, you become a little bit of a victim of your own success. Mm-hmm. And I think there's was some of that that certainly happened to where you acquired more customers than you ever had.
That's right.
But you didn't have to care at the level that you need to really build lifelong relationships.
Right. The other thing that happened is that there was a what I'll call a muscle memory that was built over the last few years in leaders and organizations where it's reactive, where we're going to sit back, try to just get people through as fast as we can. And that is not the mindset that we can afford to have as we charge into this new market. So it is about, you know, it used to be you could just stand there with a bucket and consider yourself a rainmaker, right? Because it was just going to come to you. And now it's got to turn into something very proactive. And what do we do with this amazing gift of all of these people that are now in our databases? What next?
So when it comes to the topic of customer acquisitions, I've got a number of things that I believe are at play here. One, the consumer's needs today are arguably different from a perspective of how they approach the lending process. Mm-hmm. We talked about a little bit about this before we went on air, to where actually right now, the high quality advice, consumers need that more than they ever have.
Yes.
And that has to play into your acquisition strategy, being able to enable your sales organization to make sure their mindset and their approach is correct. This is my perspective, but I want you to give me feedback on this. What are you hearing? Are you hearing that talked about that they're going all the way to, we have to rethink how we're doing the whole process of engaging with customers? Are they going that deep?
Yes, 1,000%. I mean, the smart lenders are. The ones, the ones that I've got my eye on are the ones who have said, we need to absolutely re-examine our entire customer journey, right? And make sure that it is tooled for repeat business, for referral business. How are we working out there in the market? And how are we going to attract and acquire more customers? Because it is going to be more competitive, right? So when you get those leads, how are you communicating with them? Because it cannot be the same way you've been doing it for the past couple of years.
So they're in essence, this is my interpretation, but they're almost in a way re-examining how they're adding value to not just their customer, but also referral partners and other business partners in the finance ecosystem, right? We have in the lending space, people deal with accountants and wealth managers and realtors and builders, and they're re-examining how they add value to all of those stakeholders.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because what has happened, like, and I think it's interesting, almost everybody listening to this, if you take off for a moment your lender hat and put yourself in the role of being like, we're all consumers too, right? And maybe some of us have purchased homes or refinanced homes or done some kind of financial transactions. Are those people really in contact with us in the way that we would expect? Or have they just, you know, they're so busy, they don't care. And that has been my experience. And that's been shocking to me when I don't hear from a realtor, I don't hear from a lender. You think, how much does it matter? So yes, I think that absolutely, I'm seeing the smart companies sit down and absolutely retool. What does it look like to work with that prospect? How are you communicating? How are you working with that customer, with that referral partner, but also really making sure that you're in tune with, we've gathered all this wonderful data in our databases. What are we doing with it? Because the 1003 goes deep. You're learning a lot about people's, more than any other financial professional learns about a consumer. We learn on the 1003.
Yeah.
And so what a disaster to sit back and not do anything.
The financial picture that you have. We've started really talking about this concept, and it's not a concept. It just needs to happen foundationally. As a top lender, you should be able to look at this comprehensive financial profile of every customer, everybody that's ever applied with you. Some of those people didn't necessarily transact with you, but anybody that you have any information on about doing business with you, you should have a profile of that person and then be able to communicate, engage with them based on all of that information that you know.
Right.
And I think getting that motion down is something that certainly, as you look at customer acquisition for the next 12 to 18 months, it really does matter that you maximize every single lead.
That's
every
right.
single prospect.
And we've known it because we've seen the data for so long. It is about showing up at the right time yeah. with the right message and communicating in the right ways. And very often, there's such a big move just in the broader financial landscape to what I'll call embedded finance is what it's yeah. called, where you're just in the midst of doing a transaction. Like, consumers aren't thinking about a car loan. They're thinking about a car. And they're certainly not thinking about a mortgage. They're thinking about their home and what's happening in their yeah. life experiences, right? So that means that smart lenders have to be aware of what those activities and experiences are that are happening and being right there, communicating with the right message at the right time. And the only way that that can happen is if you do pull up and say, what's currently happening now? How are we communicating right now? How are we in the market right now? What do we do when somebody responds to our lead? Are we dripping on their head a couple of times and then, you know, who cares what happens after that?
Yeah.
Or are we being a bit more intelligent in how we are crafting our messages and being responsive to them reacting or not reacting? Because we now can do all this. This was a pipe dream 20 years ago. We could do it now and we need to do it now.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple of technology leaders over the last week or so, and we were talking in general terms about what's possible today. Now, what's possible in the execution of what's possible can be two different things. But if you really think about it, as long as you're being ethical about what you're doing with data and, of course, respecting consumer privacy and being compliant and all of those things, it's really incredible the story that you can start to unpack yes. about what's going on in a customer's life, right?
Yeah.
And if I think about a lender that wants to maximize customer acquisition, understanding where your set of customers and prospects and leads are in that journey, what's important to them, it really will make or break whether you do well, relatively
That's right.
speaking, over the next 12 months, or you're going to struggle. Do you agree with that approach?
100% yeah. agree with that. And it's one of the differences that I think has happened too over the last maybe 5 or 10 years. Consumers are more and more eager to get financial advice and financial information and getting, again, that right message from the financial institutions that they're working with.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people will, again, hold back or they deliver here's our product or here's our something. That's not how consumers think. Consumers are thinking about, I have a need. I'm trying to figure out my budget. I've got a life event happening. What can you do for me? I mean, that's one of the most important things. And people are now more willing than ever before in history to give up data and information about themselves if they're going to gain information, advice, and guidance and education that is helpful to them in their life.
Yeah. The three things we always ground on is educate, engage, mm-hmm. and advise.
Yep.
And the advice part is really a moment of differentiation for a lot of lenders. And I want to go into a little bit, as you've had conversations and been a part of some of these strategic conversations of companies that are actually trying to make decisions today that will set up how they do in the next year to 2 years. Give me some perspective on how are they thinking about educating the customer and the role of the lender and the professional, the originator, the advisor, the mortgage loan officer, whatever the title. How are they thinking about educating the customer as part of their value proposition and really part of their customer acquisition strategy?
It's such a great question. It makes me think I was in a session that was talking about home equity lending. And a lot of the folks that were in there really aren't able to do home equity lending in a way that's maybe profitable to them, or they just don't have the right outlets for it. However, I heard several of them say that they still want to be in the conversation, right? They still want to be in the ones not just, you know, not talking about it and then off they go to some other financial institution. They still want to be there and be seen as that financial guide for them. Because with that mortgage, we learn about every single part of their financial life. And think about the service that you can do for someone when you are able to be involved. No, you may not be able to, if you are an IMB, you're not going to be able to serve every single need, but don't you want to be that person that they've given you all this information? They would like advice. Yeah. So the best lenders I'm hearing are saying, we still want to be in the conversation. We want to know what's going on with this consumer's life. And then we want to be creating a journey for that customer so that we are there for the transactions that are showing up, so that we're there for the referrals, we're there for that second home or the next thing that they're doing.
We see this in a lot of levels, but I think it's more profound right now to where the practitioners, the top producers, the lenders that have elevated themselves to that status that you just talked about, to where the customer wants them, the consumer wants their opinion. They yeah. want guidance.
Yep.
They want to understand, what are the impacts of me making this decision to buy a house today or rent for another year? The ones that are in that position are doing an order of magnitude better in this environment. That's what our data shows.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing yours.
Yeah. The thing is, Joe, I don't think, as people are listening to this and saying, oh, you know, but I've got all these initiatives, I don't think anything we're talking about is that incredibly difficult to execute, quite honestly. I really don't, is because it is talking about really paying attention to, and do you have documented, what does your journey currently look like for a lead, for a customer that's in your database, for a referral partner that's in your, what does it really look like? And what kind of content are you sending? And again, are you utilizing intelligent automation so that you're being reactive to what's happening? But we haven't looked at that because we haven't had the time. And I get it. The last couple of years, hey, I might not have looked at it either because we were doing all the things that you do when the market is as it is. But now, like I said, I'm hearing these smart lenders saying, we're absolutely taking the time that we have been given right now, and we are going to make sure that we're getting that when it's a competitive transaction, we're going to get it because we have been communicating information of value, of education, of advice, that we've been engaging with them such that we're going to get that next transaction because we've been there.
And they're also, we notice this from the conversations that I have, but I'm curious in your perspective, how are they thinking about the next, call it 4 to 6 quarters, the organizations that you're talking with? Are they getting into this mindset of the world's going to be awful for the next year to 2 years? Give me some color on that.
Yeah, there's a lot we could talk about in terms of mindset of the folks and what they're thinking about right now, but that's a whole other episode. But what we're hearing from a lot of people is that the first part of the year is probably going to be a bit challenging. I don't think we're done with some of the measures that people have to take in order to get their businesses in a healthy place. What I am hearing is executives are taking a really good, sharp look at absolutely everything, which quite frankly, that's a very healthy exercise for a business, is to look at everything, think about everything, look at those costs, know what your return is for some of these things that you're investing in. Those are all really good exercises to go through. Think critically about your people and your teams and your leadership, and all of those things are good.
How are you to deploying resources?
Absolutely right.
And the money and the spend, the advertising, the marketing, the tech, the tools, the trainers, all of it.
Yes.
You have to look at every single thing and say, how does it tie into the most important thing, which you have to be able to acquire customers. You have to be able to retain customers.
Yes. Like
it doesn't, it's complicated, but it's not really more complicated than that at the end of the day, right?
I was surprised. I was actually on a workshop recently with a group of technology executives, and I was surprised when I heard the question was asked about budgets for next year.
Yeah.
And are you cutting? Are you staying the same? And not one executive on that call, and there were a lot of really good brands represented of various sizes, IMB, banks, everything. No one said they were cutting. There was
on the technology budget,
on the technology budget side, which I thought was very interesting. In fact, a third said they were going to be increasing their technology
budget. What about reallocating
spend? So I absolutely going to reallocate. We didn't talk about that on that poll, but we did go into that and really being thoughtful about where can we ensure that our technology is helping us with exactly this topic, customer acquisition. And as what I've heard from lenders is people are still expecting the first part of the year is going to be, as we look at the industry, we're still going to see some more headlines that might be a little tough for us to swallow. But I think most people are saying when we get to second quarter, where rates are probably, you know, they've already come down a little bit, they probably will come down a little bit more with the continued inflation pressures and recession and so forth. I mean, with, I should say, the recessionary pressures will come down a bit further. Property values are starting to normalize. I've heard a lot of people talk about real estate agents are more excited right now because they can actually do their job. It's not just a race to the driveway to quick write up an offer for $50,000 over list. You've got first-time home buyers that have been on the sidelines for a long time that now are kind of saying, gosh, maybe I know rates are high, but I can look at a different type of product. Maybe I can tiptoe into the market and actually have a chance to look at a few properties before I have to make a decision. So second quarter, it's not like, hey, it's going to be back to party time, but is it going to start to feel normal by then? Yes.
So we speak about now the practitioners, the professionals, they're actually able to slow down and do their job again.
Yes.
Which is advising. And part of that advising right now, if you have a consumer, a first-time home buyer, and they believe in the power of home ownership, which we no question ground on, right? Single biggest contributor to household wealth out there. So home ownership is still long-term really important. If you believe in that, as a practitioner, the creativity that they need to have about structure, deal structure, and product set. Like, how do you think about that? Is that part of that conversation now? They're really going deep on examining the, what are all the options available from a product set? And how do I create a scenario for this consumer to where the consumer's going and they're looking at 30-year interest rates, 30-year fixed rates, and maybe they're 6.5% or whatever they are.
Yeah.
And they're just like, eh, not for me.
Yeah.
So what are the smart lenders doing?
They're educating. And you've said it a number of times, but there's a Freddie Mac report that comes out periodically where they talk about how consumers are looking at their financial worlds and looking at the mortgage industry. And there still is an unbelievable number of people that still think you need 20% down, that you need 800 credit score, that there's only 30-year fixed. Like, it's amazing. I think we, because we've been in this industry for so long, some of us longer than others, but we've been in it so long that you kind of forget all of our customers have not been along for the ride. And there is an education that is needed to say there's all kinds of options out there in terms of how much you put down, about what your credit profile might look like, about more creative things. You know, we haven't talked about some of the hybrid loans for a long time. Yeah. Well, it's time to talk about them again, because there's that thing that's been going around. I know everybody's saying, you know, you marry the house and you date the rate, but you got to divorce the landlord, right?
Yeah.
But there is a lot of truth to that, is find a great home that you love. Don't let this time hold you back. And it may not help, you know, there's buyers that look at right now and they can't help. It's human nature. You know, people are wired like people. This is how we are. Is you look back at a couple of years and go, oh, I should have, would have, could have, when the rates had a 2-handle, a 3-handle, a 4-handle. Well, they don't. And if you take a more historic view, which again, not a lot of consumers have, are great interest rates.
They're great interest rates. But I think part of the problem, don't you think part of the problem is the buzz in the media? Like, if you wake up and you are thinking about buying a home, like everything Absolutely. That you read is, oh my gosh. What you don't hear is the media or anybody breaking down the fact that, well, let's look at this over a 10-year period.
And let, compare it to rent.
And what, and let's examine your net
somebody
worth.
Else's mortgage, which is exactly what you're doing with rent.
Yeah. And so my perspective is the lenders that are willing to have more of those conversations with consumers as part of their customer acquisition strategy, they are going to have a better outcome if they can operationalize that into their sales team, to where you need to remind yourself part of your job right now is also crafting the benefits and the value of homeownership first. Make sure you're grounding on that with consumers and educating them on that.
And help your loan officers, I think, come back up to speed with that. You talked a minute ago about practitioners getting to do their jobs and really having to do that job of advice. It was as easy the last time in the refi run, you quote an interest rate and you take the app and you're kind of done. Now it is going back to truly what makes a mortgage loan officer such an incredibly special role, an important role, is because you are helping somebody get into a home where their family is going to live, and helping craft out and educate, and what does that look like, and how do you structure that deal? There's an amazing art to that. And so I do think for lenders that are listening, you pay attention to that as you're thinking about how you're recruiting and retaining your loan officers, which I know is a big topic for people right now as well. Make sure that you are focusing on how are we providing the education and training that they might need, and what tools and resources they might need in order to really do a great job educating the consumer.
One of the buckets that I believe has been missing, and I'd love to hear your feedback from your conversations, has been the enablement and the sales training as a part of these organizations.
Yeah.
Some of them have done a great job, but some of them have not really done a good job at all. And that's going to really matter over this next handful of quarters as to how well your organizations do, if you're enabling your people, not just with the technology and the tools, but ultimately the training and the dialogues and the reminding, like, it really does make a difference.
Well, and it's interesting too, because I often will talk to, like, the number one thing when people talk about loan officers and going to training or adopting new things is, oh, they just won't do it. They won't do it. Now, I was a loan officer, and so I object to it a little bit. And you know that I won't let people say loan officers are lazy. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
There's lazy loan officers, but there's lazy attorneys and doctors and everything
else
as well, right?
Yeah.
But if a by and large, loan officers 100% commission, that is not the profile of a lazy person, right?
No.
But it does mean that they are going to go towards the path, as 100% commissioned salesperson should, towards the path of least resistance to get the right result. And sometimes it means, like, I don't want to go to that thing. But now we're in an environment where you probably do have a lot of people that are open, eager, and a little more hungry for having the right kind of tools, the right resources. So if you've tried training, and nobody shows up, so you've thrown it out, well, try again. Now is the market to be paying attention to that. And there are people, I heard an executive say last week, and I thought this was a really interesting point. They've got some things that they're implementing and technology, in fact, that they're implementing. And one of their ROI metrics is morale, because they've said our people need it. They're in a tough situation right now. And so our folks need things to grow their business. But man, some of it is morale, is to keep them
What I've found important is you have to remind the people running your company, if you're in lending and banking and serving consumers in the homeownership journey, you have to remind your people that the work they're doing is super important, number one. And long term, it's not going anywhere. Like, the American dream of home ownership is not going to go out of style. Right. And I feel like people, almost out of fear, they go into the mindset of like, oh my gosh, no matter what happens, there's going to be a certain amount of people move over this next year. The questions that you have to ask are you doing the things you need to do day in, day out? Are you using data correctly to unlock more of those opportunities for your organization?
Yes. And you said a word a moment ago, which was one of my favorites, which is operationalize, which I love that one, because that's the bottom line. When we're talking about customer acquisition, how do you operationalize the right things in your organization? And how do you do it right now when you have the opportunity? The exec I was talking about said, there is going to be a next wave, no matter when or what that looks like. And he said, we are going to do the right things. And I've seen this organization do this over years. He said, we're going to do the right things right now. We're going to invest in the right things right now. And we are going to capitalize on when that next wave comes. And it's not about being the largest or has the most toys.
It's not about buying the most ads or sending the most mailings or any of those things. It's not
about
that.
That's right. But it is taking advantage of this time instead of just saying, as you started out, where can we cut all the costs? Yes, you need to do that exercise. But the next step of it is saying, okay, now we've cut our costs. How do we focus on customer acquisition? What does that look like? What do we need to examine in our own business to make sure we are setting the foundation for market share as we move forward, because we're moving forward?
Yeah, that's really well said, Sue. Thanks so much for going in deep on customer acquisition and the importance of that and how the organizations that you're talking to are thinking about it.
Thanks for having me. Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.